What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Hello, everybody, and I'm going to say, ho, ho, who are these podcasts? That's right, Carl himself, the supposed top guy in the Dabbleverse. I didn't see him getting ranked number 4th in the Dabbleverse Awards, but there you go. Lily Kay makes his return for his, I guess you could say, now annual Christmas special. Carl, of course, is always in the middle of multiple dramas online, but also a perfect guest because he knows how to answer questions, all that kind of shit. So of course he is perfect for one of my festive Christmas parties. Joining us, of course, is one of my favorite co-hosts, the super intense but always great podcaster Dan from Nice Podcast Stupid. Going to plug the YouTube because myself and Dan are a couple of, Keanu C. Thompson likes to call us, sweater bitches. So if you want to see some sweet Christmas sweaters, well, you can go to Hughie Entertainment on YouTube. You'll get to see mine, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one, and Dan's, well, I didn't see what Dan's was, but you can go see it at Hughie Entertainment on YouTube. All you've got to do is hit the like button, leave a comment, do all types of fun stuff to get in with the algorithm. It's good stuff and it's fun and it helps and it's free. Who doesn't want to do shit that's free? Social media plug time, the exciting part. I'm at the Hughie on Twitter, at the Hughie on Instagram, and I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, but what's this background music? And I'm going to tell you, it is Here We Go, a Carolyn, not a Carolyn. Good stuff, good pun. Everybody's cracking up out there. It's a great time. Here We Go, a Carolyn by the Christmas Orchestra. And did I get that wrong? No, I got it right. Of course I got it right. I'm fucking Hughie. What don't I get right? Here We Go, a Carolyn by the Christmas Orchestra from the album Christmas Music Instrumental. And speaking of Christmas music, this will of course be another one of my Christmas party themed episodes. So we're going to be talking Rob Reiner. We're going to be talking Gino and Keanu get divorced. We're going to be talking the Stuttering John Shuley debates. And of course we're going to be talking about Opie and Anthony, a potential reunion, and what that could all mean. Anyway, We're not going to hang around much longer. And we're going to say, Dan and Carl, hello. Hughesy stumbled through the door, glassy eyes and wanted more. Whiskey breath that screamed out loud. In the bar, he was the crowd. Stories flying off his tongue. Songs of battles lost and won. Every sip, another tale. In the pub, he'd never fail. Hughesy swings and Hughesy sways. Shamrock nights and funny days. Raise a glass and cheer it on. Hughesy's legend will live long. That's right. At this time of year, I like to say something absolutely hilarious that makes people laugh. I like to say, ho, ho, who are these podcasts? That's right. Banger joke and bringing on the host of that show, Lady K. Lady K, how funny was that joke and how jealous are you that you couldn't think of it yourself?
Hughesy, that's why you're one of the best, my friend. Thanks for having me on the show.
Literally the fourth best.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think differently of you now.
It's just what happens. You know, you pick up the pace a little bit, and I'll send you a few DMs, give you a few tips.
Dude, I used to think you were just a drunk idiot, but now?
Well, by the way, this StreamYard is really playing up badly. I don't know if it's because I downloaded a bunch of cheesy pizza, but we'll find out soon. Hit the like button. But joining us, of course, the friendliest guy in the Dabbleverse and one of my fellow sweater bitches. It's the Shave Dan from Nice Podcast Stupid. How's it going, Dan?
It's going great, Adam. How are you? Happy holidays. Carl, great to meet you. I think it's the first time we've had a chance to chat.
Nice to meet you, Dan.
Meet you. And is it too soon to start doing the Rob Reiner jokes, or do we have to wait a couple of days for that, Uzi? As the resident joke teller.
Well, I don't think we should be telling any Rob Reiner jokes, but I do think that the parents of the kid from Poltergeist are probably having a great time tonight. She wasn't even that good looking. I mean, she had blue eyes. I prefer brown eyes, right, guys? Good stuff. So Flimsy Greenberg will not be joining us today.
What the fuck?
He DM'd me.
He stood someone up this week. Unreliable, that Flimsy Greenberg.
He DM'd me and he said, holy shit, the actual Dan from Nice Podcast Stupid. I'm afraid of Dan. He's tough. He's smart. He's better looking than me. He gets all the ladies. I feel too afraid to come on with him. That's exactly word for word what he told me.
I don't believe
bullshit. You're bait and switching us every fucking time. Every time Adam reaches out, you want to do my show? I'm like, definitely not. You're a loser. And he's like, oh, but Flimsy Greenberg's going to be here. I'm like, oh, okay. Let's go.
Toothy cuck.
Roasted. So what happened was unfortunate with Flimsy. May he RIP. But I also heard he also liked Poltergeist a lot. By the way, what do you think of that theory about the Poltergeist kid and Rob Reiner and how it may have blown back onto his son? Hit the like button. Start with you, Carl.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the big theory is that Rob Reiner was a effing PDF and was part of one of a ring of people who abused the star of Poltergeist. 1, 2, and 3.
Hold on a second. Rob Reiner grew up in Hollywood. His father was a famous comedian in Hollywood. I don't think that there's a lot of pedophilia there, so that doesn't make sense to me. I doubt it.
You're right. I was thinking of a different location. Shit. Yeah. Should we start again?
You're thinking of a whole different industry, my friend.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the bowling industry. I'm stupid. But I do think Rob Reiner was a scumbag, and he won't be missed. Although I did pay to see Spinal Tap 2, so I double down on what I said.
Is that why you're so pissed off at him?
So fucking angry. Although, I gotta be honest, didn't hit it. Quote me. Dan, do you think that Rayner was a PDF to touch that kid?
Well, you know, I'd heard those stories. I mean, it's been a long thing in Hollywood and all the gossip things they talk about. I didn't realize Rob Reiner was in that little cabal of guys. I thought it was, I mean, Spielberg obviously is a pedophile, but I figured it was more of kind of those, his little group. I didn't realize Rob Reiner was associated with him. But I mean, who knows what happened, but 12-year-old girls with, you know, distended rectums. I mean, that's not, you know, an uncommon thing, I wouldn't think, right? Especially in Los Angeles.
I don't know, but Carl just found out the location for DabbleCon 4.
Carl, do you have a promo code, by the way?
I thought you were going to ask about his rectum.
What is where's your promo code?
Everyone has a promo code. It's the coolest thing to do.
Yeah, what is it, though? Just for the audience.
Are you coming to Hackamania, Dan?
Probably not, unless they give me a promo code. Then maybe I'll go, but...
Are you in a promo code yet? Hughesy, you're trying to get to Hackamania. We want to see you there, buddy.
I'm definitely going. I'm just probably going to be a last-minute flight booker because of the fucking government and also having to file taxes in January, which is always a great way to start the year.
Who the fuck would care when you purchase your flights? That sounds like a you thing.
Yeah, well, this is a Hughesy show, you silly goose.
I see. How are you doing your Christmas shopping?
Oh, no, I just steal stuff off the you-know-whats. I can do what I want. I'm like...
Who are you trying to bang in at Hackamania?
Yeah, who are you fucking at Hackamania? That's what we all know.
So Lemmy is one of the contenders. I think FKA Mommy seems like she's coming on as of late. She's very thirsty. And I got a dark horse candidate.
No black woman.
Fucking mama, Michaela. I think she might have the hots for you. I think that might be an opportunity for you at Hackamania. What say you, Yuzi?
At the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Sign them up.
All right. Let's play a round of FFF. Michaela, FK Mommy, and Lemmy. What do you got?
I would F out of the three.
Yeah.
Fuck them all.
Well said. If Michaela gets in this year, I mean, it didn't work out for her very well last year's Hackamania or this past year's.
Yeah, I think that was a Stone Cold Steve Michaela turned up. But gotta be honest, at least you know someone's gonna be holding. Hit the like button.
Well, welcome to America, Hughesy.
Hell yeah! You know, I actually went to see... I went to New York 20 years ago. And literally, as soon as we get... we went from the airport to... we get into Manhattan... and they were filming pickups for Spider-Man 2 on the street. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this place is great. I don't know why the rest of my Muslim brothers are so fucking bitter. The broadcast is Hughesy and Ashley Cummins will happen. That's a fact, Jack. I don't know. She seems a little intense. In fact, you know what? If she can help me meet the Foo Fighters, I'll eat her ass. What do you think about that, Cole? Hit the like button for the Foo Fighters.
She also knows Larry Page. So you can probably make it so that all search results end in it's Hughesy hello.
That's great. Who is he?
Larry Page is the founder of Google that Ashley claims to be good friends with because, you know, a lot of billionaires hang out with lonely, broke losers in Hollywood. It happens all the time.
She also knows Richard Branson, I think. I think she spent some time on Richard Branson's yacht and his island. So
sure, why not? Yeah, while we're making shit up, why not?
I heard she was also there when John Lennon was you-know-whatted. Kim Flimsy couldn't make it because he's shit scared of Dan. He heard that there was a possibility of a potential meeting of minds, and he literally shit himself. He sent me literal video footage of him reading it and shit himself at the same time. It was disgusting, and I will sell it to you all.
Flimsy, I never think to pull my phone.
Co-host that I don't like, so I don't. Flimsy had nothing to worry about, but no. All right, I digress. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
In the poll, hit the like button. There is a question I have in the poll, which will be the first question, which will lead into the first question for Lady K. Fucking roasted.
Got me good.
It's still funny, that one. The question I wrote in the poll was, will Gino and Keanu still be a couple by December 2026? I think I seen someone write that on Twitter or on YouTube earlier. And the options are yes, no, and here's some gifted memberships. So, but that sort of brings into the question we spoke about the other day, Carl, sorry, on another episode. Do you think that Gino is the source of all of the problems in the Dabbleverse community?
100%, of course.
Yeah, like you could go find any feud and Gino is involved somehow. Go into deep depths on that, Lady K.
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for Gino to get me arrested. This guy is, people are doing jail time because of this asshole. And he seems to have no remorse for it. So, yes, he is definitely a problem. Now, will they be, what I love about Hughes is he asks a question and then asks three other questions, which is always a fun way to interview people. I believe that Gino and Keanu will definitely be together. Now, is it because Gino doesn't have any other options? Yes. But I think that they work well together, those two. I think it makes a lot of sense. I've hung out with them both on multiple occasions. They get along very well. They're perfect for each other.
It's just that there was a couple of weeks ago, I did an episode with Keanu and Dan and Lemmy, and there was a bit of an argument, and it got a little heated, and there was all this talk about the Matt Mead accusations and stuff. And Keanu got pretty upset while talking about the shit that she'd been through, even though Dan's dick was rock hard at the time. Mm-hmm. Very awkward. But then when you see Keanu and Gino streams, Gino tends to get like angry and yell at her. And it's sort of like, do you not think that maybe eventually that's going to really have an effect on her, which could then make her turn around and say, you know what, Gino, everybody's coming after me because of you. I can't go on this show because of you. I'm getting roasted over here. Nobody's watching this shit. And it always seems to come back to Gino's fucking feuds. Dan, what do you think about that? Do you think there could be a break, or do you think they're just going to keep fucking?
Yeah, and I actually saw someone say this in the chat. I was going to say it myself. So just, I guess, parallel thinking, as they say in the radio business, they are codependents, right? They both kind of play, like Carl said, they both yin and yang each other very well. Gino doesn't really have any other options. He's old. He's got no job. He's got the $33,000 credit card debt, which, by the way, if you haven't run up a $33 credit card, I mean, are you even really trying? Like, come on, go out, get out there, you know, live a little. It's free money. Go out there, buy stuff, you know. And if you got rent control in Harlem, you don't need the money. So, you know, go ahead and do it. But no, I mean, I think, you know, Keanu's already been through every comedy club doorman in New York City. So, I mean, where else is she going to go? She's already kind of tried that route. So they kind of need each other. I think they're in it for the long haul. I don't think they're going away anytime soon. They both knew what they were getting into, right? I mean, it's no like surprise. Oh my God, wait, Gino's an alcoholic degenerate. Oh wait, Keanu's a whore that had OnlyFans and is really dumb. They knew ahead of time. And so they have their strengths and weaknesses. And I think they play off each other well. So I hope if they can't make it work, what hope is there for any of us with our significant others? They're perfect for each other.
Is she really a whore for having OnlyFans? I mean, I would say if she sucked people's dicks for money, I would be like, that's kind of whoreish, not to be, you know, conservative.
Well, I mean, she did suck dick for coke at some point, so I think that's probably more of the whore thing.
Who hasn't?
Taken
Hackamania.
Is that an offer, Husey? If people are holding, that all holes are available?
Yeah.
I just have cash, by the way. If you see me at Hackamania, or I'll be in Vegas this weekend, I won't suck your dick for coke, but I definitely carry cash at all times.
So does Bachman. Bachman's got $20 bills. So if you need a 20, go find Shmuel Bachman. He hands them out like they're party favors. So he's definitely the guy you want to be looking for if you need 20 for the slot machine.
You know, I don't want to. $20 for a slot machine?
Isn't that what they do?
I've never been to fucking Vegas, but I don't want to.
You sound like Carmix right now. You're like, holy shit, what? You can gamble with money? Yeah, you can gamble with money in Vegas, yes.
I thought that's because you meant that I was completely, obviously, secretly gay. Speaking of which, have you seen the rumors that Carmix and Felicia's back on?
Hold on a second. You're saying that Carmix, a guy who's been with two women, he's had sex with two women. You're saying that he's gay? How is that possible?
Because he's gay.
Could you imagine having two different women in your life when you're in your 40s? That's got to be wild.
That is pretty fucking
that
intense.
That spank bank is crazy.
But yeah, I just think the Gino Kiki thing, I don't see it lasting at all. There's no way anyone with a backbone is going to let somebody bring him down that much. In fact, even with the poll in the chat, I want to see ones if you think that Gino and Kiki's going to break up. But Dan, when you see the way, like, when Kiki cried, do you not think that there's almost like some type of PTSD shit that's going to come up with the way Gino gets like drunk and yells at her and blames her for, like, he was doing a stream earlier that I think had something like 17 people watching. That shit.
How many people
gets
are watching this?
121.
Okay, cool.
121 likes, please. And it's all because of Dan. But
Husey,
I just
get rid of 121.
Yep.
You dumb fuck.
Yeah, what do you mean?
It's 11.
It's 11.
Yeah, obviously.
Me and Carl are like old school dorks, so we know these kind of things.
You know what?
Games.
This goes to 11. Little callback to Rob Reiner, who's
very well. You pulled it all together. Perfect, Husey. Yeah. Well done.
And speaking of loads of holes like Vegas, Rob Reiner stabbed to death. But the thing, but what do you think about the rumors going about that his son is guilty of the crime of Rob Reiner?
He was arrested. I don't think it's a rumor.
Well, he was arrested.
Now, there's allegations that, yeah, there's rumor, the rumor mill on TMZ.
People accused O.J. Simpson of doing it.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first.
Great actor. Did you ever see Naked Gun 3?
33 and a third? Or three and a or something. I saw the new one. That was pretty good.
It was, but OJ wasn't in it.
No, he wasn't. I was disappointed. I was hoping he'd show up.
I'll tell you, Rob Reiner, if you pull up his, like, I was on just Wikipedia or something. Wikipedia. Man, he did a lot of great movies. I you know, everybody knows him, All in the Family, Meathead, and a few acting kind of, you know, roles as sort of a, you know, the dad on, like, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street and stuff like that. But he did Stand By Me. He did Misery. Obviously, Spinal Tap. We all know that. I mean, he's got quite the resume.
Princess Bride.
I'm sorry?
The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah, there's another one. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of classic movies. I mean, everything he touched in the 80s and early 90s was golden. So, he was a really talented guy. I mean, the politics, you know, you can say what you want about that. But, he had a pretty great fucking list of movies that I think impacted all of us. And we all enjoyed it.
So you think the Secret Service took him out and they tried to frame his son? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
I agree.
So we can quote you on that then, Don, that you think Rob Reiner was a good filmmaker?
I think Trump had him taken out. CIA ops,
So one too many tweets. He had enough.
The tweets were just out of control. Trump had enough. I don't know if you know this, Husey, but every U.S. president gets three kills. Mm. Three freebies, not even like war kills, just like, you pick three people that during your administration that you just say, and it's each 4 years, and you say, I want a suicide two in the head, you know, kind of deal. I think Rob Reiner might have been one of Trump's three free kills.
Bill wanted Monica Lewinsky, and they're like, you've already had your three. I'm sorry. That was in the first month, Bill. You probably should have waited a second for that.
They said to him, rapes kind of, scratch out the kills, so you can either do three of one, you can't have six of the other, as they say in the street. This label for Canadian Dough. Dan, thoughts on Kiki and Chrissy fighting over Ava? What's this?
Is the Dan thoughts a person, or is that Dan space thoughts, like asking me a question?
You're
asking me? Is that what
you're $2 Canadian does not get you very many space bars.
That's right. I should know of all people. Yeah, you only get so many characters. Yep. My thoughts, the Chrissy Keanu thing, if it wasn't Ava or Ava or whatever her name is, it was going to be something, right? I mean, at some point, Keanu disenfranchises herself with every female that she thinks that she can get a little bit of heat off of. So it was only a matter of time. And then this new redhead Mary Jane broad with the big boobs and the butterface, she's on the scene now. She's kind of like a Timu Kaylee there. A Timu Lucy type box coming on the scene. And, so she wants a little bit of the Chrissy Mayer rub. And so Keanu needs heat. This is the thing with Keanu and Gina. This brings it all back. They need cheap heat to keep it going because they don't really have big audiences. Now, everybody people, oh, Dan, you don't have a big audience. Yeah, okay, it's kind of a hobby. But I get the same numbers as Gino. And Gino is like much more well-known than I am and has done Compound Media and is someone that hangs out with Kumia. And then Keanu's well-known. They're not really doing all that well. They've got a lot of debt. They're desperate. They are in desperate straits right now. So Keanu's going to do anything to get her attention, like the crying that you talked about, Husey. I mean, that whole thing, every time she goes on, when she did the thing with Rikeda, it's all about getting attention. And then she'll repackage it into 10 different clip shows and try to spread that out for 2 weeks. Gino, at least Keanu has a plan, though. Gino has no fucking idea what he's doing. Gino just wants to get drunk and hope everything works out for him. And it ain't working, as we all know.
So you don't think that Kiki actually believes what she says about Ava?
I don't think Keanu believes anything. And you asked about PTSD. Look at Keanu's history. She dates guys that abuse her. The baby talk, and I've said this before, and I don't want to be armchair psychologist, but anyone that knows, psychology, people resort to things from their childhood. And people that do like baby talk and have kind of infantilization, that usually means that goes back to something that they either had happened to them or were lacking from their childhood. It all goes back to that. So either her dad was a piece of shit, or the family babied them too much and spoiled them. Whatever the case may be, it started when she was a little kid and she's never fucking grown out of it. Keanu is a 33-year-old, 12-year-old. I mean, that's how she behaves. And she's never going to snap out of it. And then she gets along
with Sutter and John. This all makes sense now because her and John are our best buddies now. And John, I'm pretty sure, is 7. So that would make sense that the children would have fun hanging out together.
Yeah, it's like kids playing house. It really is.
Yeah, I just think that when I heard the Kiki married Gino, I find it kind of shocking. And Gino just sounds like a fucking nightmare. Like, I was speaking to Pat Dixon the other day, and we were saying that Gino is like a show cancer, and that if there's like 10 words you know you shouldn't say on a show, Gino will come on your live stream and he'll yell out the you know what word, and he'll talk about this and talk about that, and it's like, why would anybody fucking want you around?
Like, why would any yourself or Gino? I'm confused.
Oh, I usually save my no words for traffic jams and stuff like that, or sex.
I like that you were complaining about Gino earlier, talking about how he's like just getting drunk all the time and has no plan. And I'm sitting there going, I've known Husey for a few years now.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Oh, I got a plan.
Oh, okay.
I don't, but I mean, I could.
Sure. If you had some money.
Yeah, GTA 6 is out next year. Hit the like button for life goals. But you mentioned their Carl Stutter and John. And one of the things I've been talking a lot about lately is the fact that John, of course, and Ava, allegedly, have been striking YouTube channels. And the unfortunate thing about that is, and it sounds double standards, is that John is a dickhead, but he is completely in his rights at the minute to strike channels. Because if somebody, like when Doom clips your stuff or somebody plays one of your clips, you get sent a thing called an ID or a copyright notification.
Sure.
Which means you have the rights to do, for those that don't know, a soft takedown, like, hey, would you mind please taking this down? Or a DCMA strike, which is a potential channel damaging 90-day thing on the channel. With that all in mind, Carl, do you get nervous in covering Stuttering John now? And do you think maybe it's time for people to move on knowing that he is the type of cunt who will flag every channel he can?
I don't know what the copyright laws are in Ireland. I know you guys don't have a First Amendment, but thankfully in the United States we do. And fair use clause of the Copyright Act makes it my First Amendment right to play clips of John and make fun of him and everyone else too, which is great that we're allowed to do that. I actually got struck by Netflix for some Meghan Markle content that we put out. And Netflix probably has a little bit more power than John and Ava. And I was able to successfully counter that and get my content put back up. So I don't think that John is using the copyright claim system correctly in YouTube. He knows that Shuli's using this with fair use, and he's still striking it anyway, which is against their terms of service when you know that you're striking something that is a fair use case. So I'm confused by your question, Husey.
I think have a you know question. Better. Maybe I can change the dialogue a little bit. So, Carl, you have a lot to lose.
Sure.
You know, you have a business right here with your show, YouTube, and all the other things that you do, Patreon, all that. You've got obviously Stuttering John. You guys go way back. You've always, you know, he's been kind of somebody you've kind of jostled back and forth. You guys have kind of ribbed each other, and you're going to play content by Stuttering John. Totally legal. You're not doing anything wrong. It's fair use. It's protected. However, we all know that the system can be gamed.
Yeah.
People can abuse things, copyright claims. They can make your life a living hell.
Yeah.
So at what point, and maybe this is kind of where Husey's going, at what point is it not, you know, the juice not worth the squeeze, right? At what point is there too much risk involved? And does him attacking you like this make you want to do it more? Or does it make you take a little bit of caution and think, maybe I need to ratchet it down a little bit?
Well, I don't negotiate with terrorists. That would be that'd be a crazy way to live your life, wouldn't it be?
Okay, but so let me give an example then. So let's say one of these strikes does hit your channel and then you lose your channel for like a week or something.
Yep.
And then that's four shows or whatever, how many you do a week, that you miss out on your super chats, your super tips, and the audience and the things and the revenue that you're expecting to get.
Right.
That's gonna hit pretty hard, right? I mean, if that starts happening, do you start reassessing what you're doing?
No, definitely not. I mean, obviously that would be against YouTube's terms of service to go in and strike me for something that isn't a copyright infringement. And so if anything, it would certainly get me more interested in covering that person's content. Wouldn't it? Well, how about you? What would you do, Dan?
I mean, I agree with the terrorist thing. However, I'll use an example. Mm-hmm. I did some stuff covering Felicia and I played some of her clips, and she is very similar in this regard. And I don't know, she knows something, and I lost my monetization on my channel. I lost it for like six months.
Really?
So
really? From clips you played of Gilly?
Well, it was definitely part of it. I mean, it was, I don't know if that was the sole reason. I think there was all, I mean, you alluded to sometimes you play like a US debate or something and ABC does something or whatever. But I had my channel, I lost monetization without a warning. It wasn't three strikes, you're out. It was like, you lost it. And they don't always give a good example for it. And I do know for a fact that every time I showed a Felicia video, there were copyright strikes being sent to me, even though it was fair use and I was following all the rules. So there are people that are, you know, you said terrorists. They are kind of like terrorists in terms of they will attack you if they know that you're, you know, trying to paint them in a bad light. So I just say that. Now, it may also be maybe I don't have enough subscribers. So like they don't, you know, maybe I'm not weighted enough where, you know, they give you kind of the benefit of the doubt. I mean, who knows? There's all these fucking algorithms and stuff that we all know about. But, you know, YouTube, I'll tell you, they don't ask for your approval. They just fucking do stuff. So it's, I don't know. And I'll just say also, Stuttering John, for me, and this is just me, it's not, you know, I don't speak for everyone. He doesn't really interest me all that much.
Sure.
Now, you know, it's just different strokes for different folks. I get it. I get that he's a lolcow and he's entertaining, especially when you've engaged with him. But like for me, if I did something and then I get hit, I'd be like, all right, you know, it's not worth it to me because he doesn't really fascinate me the same way that he does with you. So
somebody
has to weigh these things.
There's definitely ancillary characters that if they were just giving me grief, I'd probably just go, okay, well, it's not worth my time. So I totally understand that aspect of things. Like, for example, Meghan Markle. I mean, I don't cover Meghan Markle all that often. I enjoy doing it because she is very hateable and quite the narcissist, which I enjoy. But I did fight back. You know, I got the copyright strike, or I got a strike from Netflix. I got a strike from SiriusXM for covering Howard. I fought back on that. So if you go through the right process, you can usually win the argument. I feel bad that you lost monetization for 6 months. I'm thankful that hasn't happened to me. It is crazy the way the system is set up. It seems to be anti-creator often on YouTube.
But when the Stuttering John thing, like, of course, I still listen to WATP. That's you.
That's me.
But for the Stuttering, like, Stuttering John has gone in the deep end of where I think he's just become so pathetic that it's like watching latter day Chris Farley films where you just think, Jesus Christ, this guy is a mess. Already? Yeah, like fucking. Do you ever see Almost Heroes with Chris Farley and Matthew Perry? Imagine what that lunch break was like.
It's a good time.
The only thing he's done that's funny, like the fact that he found that it was interesting that he's sitting there going, "Hungry man, this is my dinner yesterday," and starts listing the ingredients of his. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Why do you still have the empty container from last night's dinner? Why isn't it in the fucking trash? What are you talking about? What the fuck is the matter with you? Why are you drinking seven beers and going, I don't even fucking drink anymore? And then you get fucking Judy the lawyer, whatever her name is, already talks like she's got a mouthful of cum and he's fucking hitting on her still, even though she's publicly rejected him, what, six, seven times?
I mean, who wouldn't shoot their shot at Judy the lawyer, though? I mean, come on. She's like,
you're telling me you're turned up by a girl with a mouthful of cum now all of a sudden, Hughesy? Come on. We're all heterosexual dudes around here, right?
Instead of shit there, it's disgusting. Like, nobody looks forward to that bit in the videos, allegedly, when Heather Harmon takes the big load in the face, and then she shows it to her husband. It's like, yeah, we know, you stupid bitch. We don't need to fucking see that shit. Thank God HD wasn't around.
I never made that far to the video.
Nice. Hit the like button.
By the way, do you follow Scarlett Hampton on Twitter by any chance, Husey?
I did yesterday.
Very interesting videos lately.
Put
her on mute or if I want to keep my my job and my marriage.
Yeah, I mean, she was a very nice person on the show. But let's just say, and this will probably be taken out of context and vulgar, her standing there with her cunt hanging open probably isn't exactly the type of stuff I would post. At the Husey on Twitter. Follow me. No. Let's make it all for you. About
the thing hanging out. I was like, I felt like her gynecologist. It's something I was looking at the other day. And I just followed her because she followed me on the, she said, oh, it was great to meet you on the show. And she followed me. I followed her back. And next thing you know, I'm like seeing inside of her. It's like, okay, that wasn't really what I signed up for, but okay. Thank you.
Wait, you're offended by a porn actress's vagina? Is that what the problem is?
Well, I mean, this wasn't Kiki OnlyFans. This was like, yeah. I'm going to like open myself up and you're going to like know what's inside of me kind of stuff, which, you know, hey, I'm not approved by any stretch of the imagination.
It sounds like you are. You're like, whoa, this nice lady that I met is now showing me the inside of her vagina. This is ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
How would Jenny feel if she saw you scrolling that on the old mobile phone, Carl? Would she be a fan?
Oh, dude, I scroll on my phone with hands on both sides so that no one can see what I'm looking at. Are you crazy? Yes.
Yeah, but how long do you think it's going to be until we have the Scarlett Hampton Stuttering John meeting of minds?
Oh, dude, I hope he fucks her. No offense to Matt Mead, but I really hope Chad fucks that girl. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I don't think that Mead and Scarlett are going to last very long. Like, they seem like a lot of accusations waiting to happen, and people are out to get them. I don't know. I just think that type of shit is a fucking disaster. Have you tried to get her on the show, Carl?
No, I've not.
Why? Prude?
It's not really my format.
What, cunt questions? How's your cunt?
Who are these porn stars with Carl?
Yeah, that's more of a Michael Gambon Ali thing. I'll let him do that.
I've got it. You get Scarlett on a special show called Who Are These Podcasts?
Who Are These Podcasts? That's pretty good.
Hey,
that's good.
Hit the like button for
Punch. Keanu shows up. She's like, wait, what show is this? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, but I just think that with like Stuttering John, I think he's clearly going to not stop striking Shirley. And if it is Ava that's helping him, they both know what they're doing. They're actively trying to shut him down. And I don't understand how it didn't take Shirley's account down, because if he hit him with three strikes, how did that not shut him down?
No, I think they're in the appeal process, so I think that YouTube has to take a look at it.
The whole YouTube system is,
I mean, the system's fucked up. It shouldn't be that I can just strike someone three times and they lose their channel forever. There needs to be a check and a balance to that.
True, but you know how to not get hit with three strikes?
Be nice to everyone all the time?
Not using other people's content, because if you know somebody hates you and they know
Both you and Dan are like, guys, I don't know, they don't like it when you make fun of them, so you should definitely stop. Okay, that's fucked, Carl, up. That's a crazy stance.
I got a different perspective on this, Carl. Don't you think, you are a very well-diversified creator.
Sure.
You do a lot of different things. You've got different theme shows, you cover different content. I think we can all agree TSN, Shuli Network, they spend, I don't know if you'd say an inordinate amount of time, but a majority of their time focused on John. Would you agree with that assessment?
That's what they're known for sure, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe they need to diversify their portfolio a little bit more, like Who Are These Podcasts? If Shuli was going to ask for your advice, Carl, what would you tell him?
So when the planes landed in the World Trade Center, was your thought like, yeah, maybe we need to think about the banking system and change the way that Western civilization acts because of how the views of these radical Islamists in the Middle East?
My question was, how did so many people know not to go to work that day? That was my question.
That's a good point.
That's another whole other.
Thermite paint. I know there's a lot of things. WTC7. There's a lot of questions around that. My point is, though, is that both of you guys seem to be siding with the terrorists on this. You're like, well, listen, these guys are not happy that they're getting made fun of, even though they're public figures, and it's well within everyone's right to make fun of them. But maybe if they like do things that are like really horrible back to them, that the people who are making fun of them should stop.
But if you, like keep, you know, if you keep poking your finger into the beehive, even though you want to get some honey, and you keep getting stung, at what point is the honey not worth the playing with the beehive? You know, I mean, that's I you know, there's two sides to the story, and I get it. Like, you don't want to bow down to the terrorist, but
no, because you encourage that behavior. That's a scary world that you want to live in, where it's like,
why
okay,
talk about something else. Why?
Okay,
why, like, there's a million locales in the world, like. I mean, you guys have, you pretty much have sucked every ounce of Stuttering John content you can find. I mean, you guys have gone all the way back years and years of videos and things. Like, there's only so much there. I mean, I guess it's a daily thing because he continues to do stuff. But, you know, at some point, maybe it's just not worth it. I don't think that makes you weak by saying, like, you know what? I want to fucking move on. Let's put the Stuttering John chapter behind us.
It's not as if Shuli hasn't tried other things. I mean, Shuli's definitely tried a lot of different things. The Dabbleverse, they're into it. They're into Stuttering John content. I mean, there's just tens of thousands of people who love it.
Why not lead and come up with something else and make people follow it versus just following what the numbers are?
Well, okay, how about this? So Howard Stern, Artie Lang's on the show, and they're doing roasts, and they're bringing strippers in, and they have comedians as guests, and everyone's loving it. The show has never been better, right? And then Howard says, I want to interview A-list celebrities, and I don't want to have comedians on anymore. We'll stop doing the news. And the viewership, listenership is completely gone. No one pays attention to Howard Stern anymore. This week is supposedly his last week. No one's even talking about it. His contract is up after this week. He's got two more days. I didn't even listen to the show today to find out what's going on. And what you're proposing here is, like, just change shit because you've been doing it for a while, and just change it. Well, it worked miserably for Howard Stern. It sucks now. He changed the format completely, and no one gives a fuck. Why would Shuli just change the format if people are enjoying what he's doing now?
Are you actually comparing Shuli to Howard Stern?
In a way, because what I'm explaining to you is, and I realize your little tactic there, what I'm explaining to you is like, if something's working, why would you change it?
How much does Howard Stern get paid?
Oh, lot less than people think. He's not making the $500 million.
Okay, but it's in the millions, right? I don't think Shuli's getting paid millions for...
What does that have to do with anything?
Because, you're comparing to... I mean, the
I
scale...
Am? Is that what I'm comparing? Or am I comparing formats?
With an anthill. Like, there's no comparison to Shuli and Stern. And
okay.
Stern has other... I mean, he does interviews. And trust me, I'm not the biggest Howard Stern, and certainly not where his show is right now. But to compare Shuli and his little clip show with Howard Stern having A-listers come in and interview them, I mean, that's a little disingenuous.
You're missing the point completely, I think purposely, Dan. My point is, if people are enjoying the show, and he has all these viewers who are watching and supporting it, and Dan from Nice Podcast Stupid is saying, you should stop doing it, been doing it too long. Why the fuck should he listen to you? Why wouldn't he just keep doing it? He's enjoying it. People enjoy it.
He can do it for as long as... I'm not telling him what to do. If that's what makes...
That's what you're just saying. You're like, why wouldn't he change? Why isn't he changing? Like, why would he?
Would you say that he's continuing to grow, or would you say his growth is stagnant at this point?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I don't know his number.
Okay. Well, I would argue that he's sort of plateaued with that. And once again,
sure.
I'm not trying to compare himself to me. I'm just a neutral observer.
Sure.
To me, I see a show that's plateaued and might even be gone the downslope a little bit. At that point, look at the history of businesses. Let's not even talk about podcasts. Talk about a business. Talk about Kodak. Kodak's, whoa, we always did it this way. We always had the Kodak fucking film. It always worked for us. Well, guess what? Kodak doesn't fucking exist anymore because they didn't adapt themselves to the changing marketplace. I know this is a niche thing and that's their whole show. And to change it would basically be to change what they do as a show. And maybe it wouldn't work, but maybe it would. Maybe it would expand the Dabbleverse. Maybe the Dabbleverse wouldn't just be 2,000 people. Maybe it would be 20,000 people, and then everybody's pie gets bigger because you're expanding what you're doing. I'm just saying there's two sides to every story, and just because it always worked this way, I mean, you talk to any CEO in a Fortune 500 company, they'll always tell you the one thing they never want to hear their employees say is, well, this is how it's always been done here. Because sure. when you start saying that, that's when your business dies.
No. And I agree with that. I think you should diversify, and I think you should try new things. I think Shuley has done that. I'm not here to defend Shuley. It's just wild to me that you think that because John's striking him, that he should just stop doing John's show and just go, okay, never mind. You're mad about it, so we will stop doing it.
I'm saying it's a good opportunity to reevaluate where you want to go with your direction of it. Maybe 50% John, and then, hey, let's try some other things. Let's experiment.
Oh, I think that's definitely
happening. Do whatever the fuck he wants. I don't care. I'm not going to give him any advice, but I'm just saying if that was me, if I was in his shoes, that's what I'd be thinking. Because right now he's on fucking Rumble. And I'm sorry, yeah. You're not making any money on Rumble unless you are like Charlie Kirk, and maybe not
Rumble's,
Charlie Kirk.
Rumble's
maybe
not great. That's a
bad example, but you've got to be someone who's like an A-list person to make money on Rumble. No one is going to Rumble. And you might get half of your audience that follows you over there. It's a fucking dying place to take your show.
But I guess, you're not understanding because you're like, I don't care about Stuttering John. And the vast majority of people don't give a shit about Stuttering John. But I will tell you, I think he's the greatest low cow in the history of low cows. I can make the argument for it because unlike all the other guys that people make fun of, John actually did have a 15-year run on the Howard Stern show and a 10-year run on the Tonight Show. And he sucks at everything.
Fuck you!
It's incredible what he's accomplished, and now that we're seeing like what he really is and who he actually is, it's fascinating. So Shuley does try to branch out. He's got Lucy Tightbox's tits on the show now. He's trying different things. He wants to get viewers.
I can sign up for that.
Yeah, see, it's not all bad decisions.
By the way, I think it's kind of gross that people keep talking about Lucy's tits so much. Like, it's really immature. She's got a nice arse as well.
That's
and
true.
You can see her arse in the video intro for Lucy Does Dabbleverse. Fartbox or Mud Hut. I don't speak the slang for you cunt kids these days.
She's in the chat. Her log splitter is on point. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Hell of a cum catcher. AO513, thanks for the 5 to my banger impressions. Hit the like button for more impressions like that. Is wearing sunglasses on stream required for all unfunny boys in the Dabbleverse?
Dude, Blind Mike is funny. What are you talking about? That's so mean.
That was very nice of Carl to bail me out there, but I was just going to say it's part of the starter kit. So yes, every one of us unfunny, untalented boys, they give us a hat, they give us sunglasses, and they give us wacky background stuff to do. So that's part of the starter kit. So AO, you were onto something.
And that's to be fair. Like, we're all in our 40s now, and we're all... Like, a late night takes its toll. Like, I had fucking sunglasses on yesterday, and next time I don't get any sleep, I'll be, like, in Vegas, I'll be walking around wearing Elvis glasses 24/7, because I will relapse. Another one from AO513. Thanks for the toe. Recognize that voice, Carl?
I do. Good stuff.
Thank you. Dan being literal like a... Dan being literal.
You calling
like
me a bitch? AO, are you calling me a bitch right now? Keep talking like a bitch. I'm gonna smack you like a bitch. No. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm just playing the other side of it. I'd love for everybody to be successful. And so sometimes you have to sort of think outside the box. So yeah, if that makes me a bitch, then yeah, I guess I'm a bitch.
Carl, why don't you read this? Wouldn't you have a lovely radio voice?
Because I'm not getting paid for this appearance. If you were a quarterback leading your team to win in the Super Bowl, Dan is the guy who would say you should have not punted on the last down. Would say you should have not punted on that last down. No, I'm not following that.
Yeah, I don't know what the majority of these words mean. Sports stinks.
Carl's a football fan. Congratulations. I'm a Pats fan, so don't rub it in.
Oh, wow. What a game, huh?
I know that was a good one. But yeah, they punting is the analytics say don't punt. So yes, I'm telling you shouldn't have punted on that last down. You wouldn't have had to do the last minute drive if you didn't punt. You just get it on fourth down or have your defense hold them and then get the ball back. That's what the analytics tell you.
Mm-hmm. And Edgelord, thanks for the two with the wonderful framed actor in his profile photo. Corey Hart got chubby.
I guess that's me. I'm pleasantly plump. It's the holidays. Come on. Yeah. The diet will start on January 1st. Go easy on me.
Yeah. Who is Corey Hart, by the way?
He wore his sunglasses at night. I think that's the artist from the 80s. I'll wear my suit. Is that night? Remember, you don't know that? You know all crappy music.
Husey only knows professional wrestlers. He's like, which Hart brother is that? He was very confused.
Corey the Shitman Hart. Yes. Am I right? Corey the Hitman Hart.
I just woke Husey up with that. Oh, yeah. We're talking wrestling? Hey, what's up, guys? I'm back.
Sweat the Shitman Fart. No wonder he grew up being able to fight. And my whole thing about the copyright stuff, Carl, was I just think that there's so many other ways around YouTube's detection laws. Like, instead of streaming a clip, download the thing, put a filter over it, like it's a pain in the arse. Like, make a MP4 of it and put like the WATP logo in the corner so that it's literally transformed content.
Then anyone can still strike it. Anyone can strike anything. What would that change?
Because I'm the... I'll be honest with you. I work for Stuttering John.
I was going to say, I don't need more work to do. It's my third podcast today, motherfucker.
What was the first one?
Horse
the Creep Off.
Mirror clips, too. Because they were... When she was striking everybody, every time she talked, they put a little horse sound. And that was transformative enough that stopped her from being able to take it down. So that's maybe... Maybe you put a donkey voice or something when John talks. Maybe that'll work.
Yeah, like, has Opie ever given you any form of striker problems?
No. Opie, until recently, never even mentioned us, but then lately he's been bringing us up a little bit, but he's smart about it.
See, that's the thing that's so baffling, because I think it's pretty fair to say that you guys have absolutely destroyed Opie's legacy.
I mean, Opie's destroyed Opie's legacy, but thank you.
Like, all those decades of radio classics and shit that people are still watching today, hit the like button. But Opie is now he's Ron the Waiter's sidekick, thanks to WATP. Like, it's fucking... I almost feel bad for him, but I also kind of want to see how much worse he can get.
His two co-hosts now, he's got this Tony P guy and, of course, Ron the Waiter. These guys are literal open micers in their 50s. He used to do shows with Bill Burr and Patrice and Colin Quinn, Jim Norton, and now he's got open... If you're still doing open mics in your 50s, it's very embarrassing.
He still steers the ship, though. That was always his strength. He was never the funny guy. He just...
He used to find talent, though, right? He was the one who recruited Anthony and Jim, so it seems like he had an eye for talent back in the day.
There's a clip, I'm pretty sure you've heard it before, Carl. It's an Opie and Anthony Christmas clip, and they're talking about a Christmas vacation. And Opie goes, I don't get it. It's not funny. And yet you get us to hear the silence in the room from Anthony and Jimmy, and they're probably just thinking, this fucking guy is a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned him there, Opie, and pretty recently his mother passed away, which is obviously very sad. Norton publicly tweeted him a nice message of condolence. And then over the summer when Ozzy died, Opie tweeted Jimmy publicly. Anthony Cumia himself has publicly stated that he would do a... O&A reunion show for the Skanks Fest, isn't that what it's called? The Jennifer, what do you call that guy again?
Louis J. Gomez.
I was going to call him Lopez because that's what those people sound like. And so it really seemed like there's a possibility more than ever of some type of peaceful one-off show doing a Q&A, which obviously will then lead to other stuff, but it also goes back to Oasis. They hated each other forever. They got back together for the money. Ended up doing one of the biggest tours in history. And then now they can just go back and not see each other for 2-3 years, come back again, make a shitload more money. So with that in mind, do you think that this is potentially the closest we've ever gotten to a Opie and Anthony reunion show being a real thing?
It's funny because Opie needs the money. We've been covering this pretty closely, and Opie's complaining about his cash flow a lot lately. He can't afford anything. He can't afford to tip the staff in his building that he lives in. He was complaining about having to give them holiday tips that, you know, typically people give a couple $100 to the door guy and stuff like that. He can't afford any of that. So Opie would need the money. He also complains that he doesn't have any of the rights to the old Opie and Anthony shows, and so he doesn't make any money off of that, even though that's not how radio works, so it wouldn't even make a difference. Anthony does not need the money. Anthony would say yes. Opie would say no.
I honestly think that Opie could, business-wise, be convinced, and then maybe they could even just... I love listening to these old-school wrestling podcasts because you get to hear them go, oh, I remember this one show, and then they break down that show, and it's like, oh, yeah, really great podcast to make, YouTube clips that makes loads of money. O&A could do that exact thing with their old radio show. Be like, here's the Joe Piscopo thing, and we'll talk about behind the scenes.
Kimberly!
That's a good song.
I think they would need an intermediary to be able to do it, though. I think they would need someone like a Bobby Kelly or...
Ron Bennington.
Ron Bennington. Someone that they could trust that knows that the other one isn't screwing the other one. Because I think there's a little bit of this, especially on the Opie side, I think he feels like, well, I'm going to do something, but you're going to try to make me the butt of the joke, or you're going to try to rip me off. And then Anthony's like, well, why do I want to bother with this? Opie's kind of, you know, not on my level anymore. But... I think together they could make a ton of money. There would be a lot of audience. Obviously, me and Carl would be people that would be lining up for that. But I think they would need to have someone that they trust to be able to kind of facilitate that, because I don't think they trust each other at this point.
But I think it's more a case of Opie has, and I hate to say it, I think he's inherited the mental health problems that his mom apparently had. And I think that... Because Cumia obviously isn't going to like just bend over and take it as much as we like him to. But I think it's all entirely on Opie. Because as far as I know, Anthony doesn't spend much time talking shit about Opie. Norton hasn't said anything bad about Opie in a long time. Really, at the minute, it's Opie versus E-Rock.
Yeah.
And... As little as Opie would like to admit it, E-Rock is the exactly the type of person who could help produce a legitimately great show for them, just to be like, right, here's a Zoom link. We're going to spend 40 minutes talking. I'll fill up the rest of the time with sponsorships and plugs and all this shit. Now we don't have to speak for a week. I just think that there's such a fortune being missed out on that it's ridiculous. It's the fucking internet's all about content creation and milking content. Opie and Anthony could be making tens of thousands per month just by sitting there and going, yeah, I remember that, and we would all be all over it. Right, Dan?
Remember that time when all the people had sex in the churches and we recorded it? That was awesome. Let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you just have just nostalgia tour for a year or two, and you know, right, with super chats or subscriptions or whatever you do, like, and somebody said in the chat, there's not a ton of money to make. Yeah, but I mean, you've seen when Anthony has done shows and he gets the super chats. There's still an audience. There's still money that they could make. They just have to figure out what the secret sauce is to get that revenue.
That's the thing about. There can be a shitload of money out there to be made. Like, I remember once with Keeping 100, the greatest month ever, we brought in a nice 11K each, and I just thought, that's the way it should be all the time. So, of course, nobody listened to me, and it all went back to shit. It's not my fault that I'm a genius and that everyone thinks I'm stupid, because I'm stupid. Which isn't fair, but speaking of which, AO513, thanks for the five. You know this... you've got a great fan here, Dan. You know this format allows you to make a living you're comfortable with? Why don't you change that because a guy with no audience says so?
Well, first off, we get a good 50 to 60 live viewers in our show, so if you're going to talk about my audience and say that's nobody, well, that's disrespectful, but... No, but to the point, hey, your comfort. I mean, you're cutting it up three ways. You're giving it to other people. And nothing is guaranteed forever. Like, this is not this is a fleeting thing. This can all go away overnight very, very quickly. And I don't know. There's only so long you can continue to do the same thing and not adjust, especially if you're running into roadblocks. Once again, I'll go back to the thing. You know, if you gave Shuly truth serum right now, I'll tell you right now, he's not fucking happy that he's stuck on Rumble. Like, nobody, like, he can't be happy that he's on Rumble. Whatever, you know, you want to say about how much he's making, maybe he's comfortable, maybe he's doing really well, but he's doing less well by the situation. So, yeah, I'm a guy with no audience. I'm just fucking spitballing, but maybe, just maybe, there's something to take out of it. Once again, I'm not telling him what to do. He can do whatever. I hope everyone on this channel, I hope you get hotter than shit. I hope everybody does really successful. I hope Who Are These Podcasts is number one in Patreon. I hope Husey, you win all the awards, and I hope my show takes off. But at the end of the day, it can all go away very quickly. And if you don't adapt and you don't see where the trends are going, then, you know, I don't feel sorry for you. You will go the way. There's so many companies that they said would never go out of business through history in the U.S. Sears, Roebuck, Kodak, I said before, go down the line. They're like fucking Palm Pilot, you know, any of these companies, Research in Motion, any one of these. Oh, we got it all figured out until you don't have it figured out. And you got to be ahead of the time. You got to always be adapting. And if you think Stuttering John, putting all your eggs in the Stuttering John basket is the way to go, then God bless you. I hope it works for you. But if I was going to take that in Vegas, I would bet against that being the long-term strategy that's going to keep going for the next 10 to 20 years.
Well, I got a bet for you for Vegas. I bet that me and Carl suck each other's dicks. You want to take that bet, Carl?
It depends on what kind of money I can make on this.
Loser has to suck the winner's dick.
All right, I'm in. Let's go. Well, I just want to circle back real quick on the Opie and Anthony reunion thing, because I don't think that those guys having a nostalgia show people would care about. They'd be pissed off if that happened. People want confrontation. People want Opie and Anthony to have it out and to talk to each other directly and be real. And Opie won't do it, because Opie knows that he's at fault for everything. I've talked to so many people who worked with Opie, and they all say the same thing, that he was a giant cunt, and no one liked working with him. And Anthony won't do it, because Anthony doesn't like confrontation. He just wants to be the funny guy who's cracking wise in the corner. So it wouldn't work. It can't work. I like the idea of having a mediator in there, and even a Bob Kelly. That Bob Kelly talks too much, though. He's a problem. But, you know, some guy who knows both of them, who could sit there and facilitate something. But, yeah, I don't think it'll ever happen. I wish it would. It'd be great.
Speaking of confrontation, I have a question for Carl. Did you feel like Melton and whoever else was on that show the other day, did you feel like they were kind of ribbing you a little bit? Did you feel kind of set up the other day? I saw you left the show a little early, and it seemed like there was a little bit of tension.
You're talking about this little piggy?
Yes.
Is it the one from this past Friday?
There was one where you suddenly had to take a nap, or you had something come up and you had to you abruptly dropped very quickly after there was some kind of going back and forth.
I've never left that show in a huff. We all bust each other's balls. We're all friends. So no, I definitely would never leave there because I was offended or anything like that. But what's crazy is people give me shit for not wanting to do 5 or 6 hours on a Friday night. So for me, that show starts at 4 PM on Friday. And so by 6 p.m., 7 p.m., now we're getting into Friday night dinner time and going out and doing things. And I oftentimes have plans. Like this past Friday, the Isotopes had a show Saturday night, and I had to write and record jokes with the announcer of the Isotopes that after this was big. Anyway, doesn't matter. The point is, no. I never leave there in a huff because I'm upset about anything.
You're having some hungry man.
Would you say that you're like super tight with Carl and or not Carl, you're Carl, with Shuly, Melton, Moody? Would you guys say that you're super tight, or Do you kind of, you know, what's that relationship like?
Well, I message with them almost daily, whatever that means. But I'm going to be in Vegas this weekend. I'm going over to Melton's house. We're going to record WTP from his studio. And, yeah, I love those guys. They're all hilarious. And the shit they do behind the scenes is wild. It's very fun.
Well, here's a question for Lady K from the notoriously joyful, happy, and endlessly fun Mr. Panhandler. Thanks for the 5. I know an A reunion would be great and all. More importantly, what percentage responsibility does Carl take NLO by becoming friends with Patrick?
Is that true? It ruined NLO for you, Mr. Panhandler? I'm sorry to hear that, buddy.
But the thing,
I'm still very good.
I'm gonna. Here's a thing here. AO5 says that he laughed after 4 hours.
Yeah, I know. That, I know those guys go on for fucking ever. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I don't watch the show. I just heard somebody say about it. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
No, that's one of the things because we're getting ready.
I wouldn't do more than 2 hours, so I don't blame you. Like, at some point, you just got to fucking enough's enough.
Well, what happens is sometimes Patrick stops talking about Aaron Imholt on his show, so he saves it all for this little piggy. So we get on, and Patrick has 8 hours of material to go over. And I'm like, I've been kind of covering this stuff throughout the week. I don't really need to rehash the stuff from last Thursday, but all right.
Yeah, because like, we're getting ready to wrap up here in a few minutes, but I can't understand the people who want to do these super long shows, nor the interest of people that they would say, what'd you do last night? Watch the 5-hour stream about fucking Little Mir ranting about ice cream.
Patrick just did a 10-hour stream on Karmic. Just... What, last week? A week ago he did that. It's like fucking crazy.
See, I seen that on Saturday. Eccle is advertising a 16-hour long stream.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why?
Quality over quantity, people.
Yeah, like I love Bruce Springsteen, but the last few times I've gone to see him, I've left early because it's like, fucking hell. Like he's playing the same shit. It's repetitive all the time.
Stinks.
Here's another rude one from
Davos. So I do have a plot. I'm glad this came up. So I got to say, these $2 super chats, these insults, they've been really fucking weak. I feel like you guys could do a lot fucking better than what you're coming up with. So last call right now, because I know Hoosie wants to wrap up. But if this is the best that you can do, like as $2 Dan, I'm not impressed. I'm just not impressed with this. But my plugs are Shmuel Buckman. He goes live every night now around 8 p.m. Eastern. Definitely one of the up-and-comers, probably the number one geriatric streamer in the Dabbleverse. You're going to want to check out Shmuel Buckman, the Shmuel Buckman Show. 7 days a week, sometimes twice a day. Check out Shmuel Buckman. So that's the plug we want to do.
Aquascape, thanks for the two. Dan sucks shit. Good on you, Lady K.
Awesome.
AO513, the Patrick and Moody ones are way too long. Yeah, I don't... I got to be honest with you, I've never watched This Little Piggy.
They tease me because when it's on my channel, I usually goes 2.5 hours. And they'll be like, oh, Carl's only going to go 2 or 2.5 hours. Like, yeah, that's funny. We can talk about Aaron enough. We can move on now.
Did you hear, though, Carl, going back to the wrestling thing, have you ever heard of a guy called Vince Russo?
I've heard of Vince Russo, of course.
I was to do a Christmas special with Russo and Levy. And
I heard you talking about this. This is crazy.
Yeah, he's flat out refused to come on if Steel Toe is here. He's like, I'll work with Chris Benoit, Vince McMahon, all those guys.
The biggest scumbags on the planet, not Aaron Imholt.
Steel Toe, yeah, I've got standards.
Shout out to Vince Russo, that's hilarious.
It is brilliant. Swanson 70, thanks for the two. Reported SJ for using Chrissy Mayer content, no quarter. Don't know what that means, but good. Fucks. I'm telling you right now, if I get the chance to strike Stuttering John, if he ever watches anything of mine, and I get an ID claim, take down.
Don't strike. No one strike anything. Stop being gay.
Labyrinth Mystic, thanks for the five. You could get a you could get an ONA show. Jim Norton won't work with Opie. You could get Anthony, Jim Norton, Sam Roberts, E-Rock, Garrett, Rich Voss, Bob Kelly.
Sure. I mean, the WABC radio show, Anthony had Jim on and E-Rock was there as well. It was fascinating. It was great to listen to.
Yeah, but I think it would be a really bad move to at least not have Opie on it. And the thing is, all that stuff about confrontation, we all know Anthony doesn't like to fight with people, but he doesn't. You don't have to yell and shout to disagree. Look at you two girls, double roast. Usually able to disagree and not actually raise voices.
Sure.
Hit the like button. Eccle's explaining the thing. to thank people for helping me get to 1,000 subs. 1,000 minutes of Joey C punishment. Hi, Dan. Eccles from England, and he sounds exactly like that.
Eccles, one of the good ones.
Eccle, I won't watch, but I will hit your like button, because it always helps with the old algo. Swanson 70, you have the charisma of a desk stapler, Dan. Skull!
Now we're getting somewhere. Hopefully it's a swing line. You know, hopefully it's the top of the line desk stapler, but good one, Swan.
You're always going to be a stapler snob, Dan. That's your problem. Alpha Pro 21, thanks for the toe. I'm watching you, Carl. I've never heard I'm too long. He's talking about his kick.
Send another super chat and explain that one for us, Alpha.
Jesus, we're getting a bit stiff here, Dan. No offense. Do you want to read that one to him, Carl?
How many $2 chats did your wife cost, Dan?
I guess there's some rumor roasted out there that I bought my wife, so I guess that's a reference to that. That's a good one, Diablo. I like it. I can neither confirm nor deny whether I purchased my wife.
Is your wife from overseas?
Yeah, she was born in Brazil.
Oh.
She is of Brazilian descent.
Brazilian chicks are hot.
She's got a nice fart box.
I bet.
And this guy here, Charlie McDennis, 3852, thanks for the two. Dan, yeah? Well, I had sex with your wife.
I thought that had been six times with my wife. I was going to be like, congratulations. That's more than I've had lately. So that's great. But yes, interesting. Okay.
It is. Well, I just want to say, I want to thank Lady K for coming on. I fucking got it wrong. Ho, ho, who are these podcasts? The Rob Reiner special. I've got your socials and all your links plugged in the description box down below. But what have you got coming up that should make us want to be tuning in for? What's next for Carl?
We are live on my YouTube channel on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. with my buddy Adam Bush and, of course, producer Chris. We do hear these podcasts every Wednesday on there. You can watch along live. And then we will be at Hackamania, hackamania.com. Promo code WATP, 10% off your tickets to Hackamania, which is April 10th through 12th in Vegas, 2026.
Carl, very important question by a very important man, Dr. Mega G. Is Shiel Buckman banned from Hackamania? With
I hope
an
not.
Exclamation point.
He better not be. He was killing it at Bubble Craps this past year.
Just don't interrupt him when he's on a heater.
Yeah, I fucked him up. I fucked him up good. That was my bad. I was the cooler.
And Dan, what have you got coming up for us all to check out?
Well, I know this is going to hurt everyone's feelings in the chat, but I'm not planning on doing any shows through the end of the year, but at least on my channel. But I will be on with Mir Musk on Wednesday. And funny enough, we'll be talking about Shmuel Buckman. So tune in on Wednesday night to hear more about Shmuel Buckman and what's going on. The latest and greatest with Shmuel. He got a little angry this weekend, so we're going to talk about that.
Well, I will be watching that instead of Echo Pineapple. Well, I just want to thank you both for coming on. I want to thank everybody for watching. Also want to thank everybody for hitting the like button. Don't want to thank the makers of It, Welcome to Derry. That was fucking terrible. What a pile of shit.
The finale sucked, but the penultimate episode was good. Don't you think the second to last one?
Well, I know what that word means. But no, I didn't. I thought the whole thing was shit, and I thought the films were shit too. But anyway, so we're going to do a big Christmas wave goodbye. Right, Carl? There we go. And thanks for watching, and see you in the next one.
And if you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me. Ooh, baby, please don't go.
Okay, thank you, Dan, and thank you, Carl. Of course, this will not be the last episode of the year for me. I've got many more planned, or I should say, I want to do many more. I don't specifically know what the next one is going to be, but you're going to have to tune in to find out. Again, very happy with this episode. Thanks to the chaps for coming on. Thank you for listening. Remember to go check out Huge Entertainment on YouTube, because I live stream. You can actually be part of the show as it's going out live with all that shit. Plus, I gotta say, if you go to YouTube, you will get to see which guests, which episodes will be coming up in advance. So that's that. Anyway, thank you for watching, everybody. Thank you for listening to, and it is Husey. Bye bye.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.